Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this 17th day of June, 2023. Welcome to those that are joining us on the recording or on the phone, and glad to have each one of you here with us in fellowship. Praise God for his merciful kindness in leading and guiding us to another Sabbath day through another week. And how much a privilege it is to come from different parts of this world all at the same time together in one place to worship our God from whom all blessings flow. So welcome, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is How Great Thou Art. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe display. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
When through the woods and forest glades wander, hear the birds sing sweetly in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountain grandeur, hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, how great thou art.
And when I think that God his Son not sparing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. And sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art.
When Christ shall come, we shout of acclamation, and take me home, What joy shall fill my heart? Then I shall bow in humble adoration and yet proclaim, my God, how great thou art. Then sing my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Amen. How great thou art indeed, O Lord my God. And dear brother Rodolfo, would you like to sing one of the verses? You had your mic up. Please feel free.
Thank you, my dear brother. Oh, Lord God, when I am lost and wander, consider all the worlds thy hand have made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art, how great thou art.
Panginoon, kung aking mapagmasdan, san sino po na iyong nilala? Mga bituin, hulog sa kataasan, tanda na iyong kapangyarihan. Umaawin ako, Diyos ko't Ama, dakila ka, dakila ka. Umaawin ako, sumasamba, dakila ka, dakila ka.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God indeed for his great love, tender mercy, long suffering, and great goodness to each one of us. How great thou art indeed. Now please join with me for opening prayer. Christ, Precious Father, we thank you so very much for not rewarding us according to our evil deeds, but holding out the possibility of forgiveness and freedom from our past sins, as well as the grace and the strength to live like Jesus and be without sin. Thank you for delivering us from the hard taskmaster, whose wages we cannot live upon, and pointing us to our Savior Jesus, who gives us life. And if we have him, we have everything. Father, we pray that thy presence, the presence of our Savior and the Holy Spirit, will be abiding guests with us in a continuing way. We pray, dear Savior, that you will dispel darkness in our hearts with the bright beams of your righteousness and truth. We pray, dear Spirit, that you will lead and guide us into all truth, convicting and reproving us of our sins, the way to righteousness, and the judgment facing each one. We pray that you will remove all barriers that may prevent us from understanding the truth and help us to see the straight, upward, clear path that leads to salvation through the truth as it is in Jesus. We pray, Spirit, that you'll allow our understanding to be quickened, our memories to be sharp and retentive, and that we may see wondrous things out of the word of inspiration today, things that we may not have understood before. Help us to see Jesus more clearly. And help us to fall more in love with him the more we see of his character. How beautiful and wondrous it is. And Spirit, we also pray that the truth will continue to lighten this dark world with the knowledge of salvation, with the glory of the Lord, until as the waters cover the sea, every nation, kindred, tongue, and people have had a chance to hear and to accept or reject Jesus. And then the end will come. Help us also to recognize those around us that we may be able to help, that we may be able to point them to Jesus or share some truth with them, and let our light shine that they may also have a chance to escape the darkness and enter into the light of the Savior. And dear Jesus, as the great physician that you are, we pray that you will take in your hands the cases of all those who are sick or suffering, who are afflicted, who long to be delivered, who long to be set free. Whether this is from a mental, physical, or emotional affliction, we pray that you will indeed lead them to freedom. And thank you for your grace and your strength that enables them to hold fast and to patiently endure until freedom comes. We thank you, dear Godhead, for hearing and answering this prayer. And Father, most of all, we pray that since you are the husbandman of this great vineyard of the earth, that you will raise up laborers and send them into the harvest field so that many more precious souls can be harvested out of Babylon and enter into the kingdom of righteousness through Christ. Thank you indeed that Babylon is being emptied and the kingdom of righteousness is being filled. What a privilege and an honor it is to be co-laborers with thee in seeking to save the lost. Please greatly bless and multiply our evangelistic efforts that there may be many more precious souls that are saved. And thank you that we're a day closer to heaven. Thank you for hearing this prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise God for how great he is. Well, dear ones, our sermon for today is part two, dealing with the character of God. And last time we learned that after the children of Israel had pledged to keep God's Ten Commandments, that the Lord God Michael then revealed himself to all the leaders of the children of Israel, and they amazingly saw God's feet, and they knew that he was real. He was not just made up from Moses telling them so. After this, Moses then asked God to show him his glory, and Michael compassionately agreed with this request. And the next morning, the mighty Lord God Michael descended in a cloud. He gently picked up Moses with his divine hands and then placed Moses in the cleft of the rock and covered the sight of Moses with his divine hand. And then as the Lord passed by, he declared, and Moses heard the Lord saying the name of the Lord, declaring, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. That was Exodus 34, 6 and 7. The Lord God then moved his hand so that Moses could see the divine features and form of his head, shoulders, his back, hips, legs, and feet as God continued walking past Moses. So this means that the name which Moses heard the Lord God proclaim and the glory that he saw pass by were inseparably connected with the goodness or the beauty of God's character. And we saw in these verses of Exodus 34 that there were nine different aspects to God's character, and we then began investigating into some of these aspects. We learned last time that the first divine characteristic was that God is merciful. And so then this revealed that the Lord God Michael manifests mercy towards us because he loves us and he longs to tenderly hold and comfort us in his strong arms in seeking to rescue all he can from being bound to sin and then receiving destruction in the end. So that was the first divine characteristic. The second divine characteristic that we investigated into was that God is gracious. And being gracious revealed to us that instead of leaving us to the consequences of our own choice to sin, that the mighty Lord God Michael chose to graciously favor us with his blessings. Didn't deserve it, but God blessed us and bestowed upon us his love and merciful kindness in helping us to escape from sin and from the devil. So God is gracious to us, not that we continue to live in sin, but that we can come to him that we might find freedom from sin. Last time we also understood the third divine characteristic, that the Lord is long-suffering. And this revealed that even though humanity deserves the penalty of death because we chose to sin, yet the Lord God is long-suffering towards us. And so he draws out or he lengthens or prolongs our time on the earth, deferring or holding back the execution of the penalty because of our sins until a future time. And all of this is because God doesn't want to see us perish, but instead come to him in repentance so that we may find salvation in Christ Jesus. So God delays the execution of the punishment because of our sins, giving us precious probationary time to wake up, to recognize we've broken his law, to repent and find forgiveness in Christ Jesus. And what a merciful, kind, gracious, long-suffering God we have. So that's what we discovered last time in investigating into the first three characteristics of our Lord God. And today we'll be investigating into more of these divine attributes, these divine characteristics. And for those that would like to follow along with the notes and the quotes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID1982.htm. And if you look at quote number one, characteristic number four, the Lord God Michael is abundant in goodness. Now, when you look up the Hebrew word for abundant that's used here, it's rab, R-A-B. And this word translates and means abundant in quantity, size, number, quality, abound, exceedingly, manifold, plenteous, sufficient. And this is Strong's Exhaustive Concordance, Hebrew word number 7227. And the Hebrew word for goodness used here is chesed, C-H-E-C-E-D. And this word translates and means kindness, goodness. And that's Strong's word number 2617. So putting these meanings together, we discover that the Lord God is not just kind and good to his creation on an ordinary scale, but he is abundantly kind and good beyond all computation. And through his goodness, God does not just barely supply our daily needs, but his kindnesses towards us abound in quantity, size, and number, doing exceedingly above all that we ask or think. Now, it was humanity, it was you and me who chose to disobey and separate ourselves from the Lord God in the beginning. And so we only deserve punishment from the Lord. But instead, God shows goodness and is kind to his wayward creation. And all of the manifold blessings he sends us are of the highest quality. So God shows us kindness even though we don't deserve it. And that's found in 1 Corinthians 13:4, dealing with love. So all of these sufficient and plenteous blessings are showered upon you and me to prove over and over again exactly how much the Lord God Michael loves us. and how much he's working for our ultimate and eternal good. And so we can see that he is actually wooing us or drawing us so that we finally decide to come back to him as our God and our faithful husband. So the Lord God, Michael, is indeed abundant in goodness. So that's the fourth characteristic. The fifth characteristic, if you look at quote number two, is that the Lord God, Michael, is abundant in truth. Now, the Hebrew word for abundant is the same as above, and it means abundant in quantity, size, number, quality, abound, exceeding, manifold, plenteous, sufficient. That is Strong's word number 7227. And the Hebrew word for truth used here is emeth, E-M-E-T-H. And this word translates and means stability, truth, trustworthiness, faithful. And that's Strong's word number 571. So this shows us that the Lord God is not just a little in the truth, but he abounds in the truth in both quantity, size, and number. This also shows us that this manifold truth that Michael abounds in is not just of a mediocre grade, but the truth that he's connected with is of the highest quality. And in fact, the Lord God is so abundant and plenteous in truth that truth has interwoven itself or integrated itself exceedingly throughout his whole divine person so that there is nothing in him but the truth. And the Lord God is truth itself. It's so permeated his character that he's only truth. So this means that Michael never deviates from the truth. He's fully stable in all his ways and his dealings. He's never double-minded. He's never hypocritical. And so this tells us and also assures us that the Lord God Michael is the same in the past. He's the same today, and he will always be the same. So as the Lord God Michael is a God of truth, Deuteronomy 32:4, and he never deviates from the truth, then there is no falsehood in him at all. So whatever Michael says or whatever he promises can be trusted to be the truth and nothing but the truth. We're told in Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? We're also told in Titus 1:2 that God cannot lie. We're also told in Hebrews 6:18 that it's impossible for God to lie. So this shows us that God is trustworthy. He fulfills his promises. And his promises will indeed be fulfilled at the proper time, without doubt or question, because God is the faithful God who keeps his word. That's Deuteronomy 7, verse 9. So if God says it, it's because it's true. If it hasn't happened yet, it surely will. There's no reason to doubt because he's a God of truth and without iniquity. So this also shows us that the Lord God will never lead any of his followers astray, because what he tells them to do or directs them to avoid is exactly what is necessary and what is best for their welfare. So Michael is not only the truth. The Lord does not only direct his followers in the correct way, but he also leads them away from sin so that they may find everlasting life. So this means that the Lord God Michael is actually the way, the truth, and the life. And so any and even all of his followers can indeed trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths, as we're told in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. So just as it tells us in Psalms 31:5, that the Lord God is the Lord God of truth, in 1 Corinthians 13:6, it assures us that God loves us and that he rejoices in the truth. So if any of his followers, if you or I desire to make the Lord God Michael happy, then we know that in following the truth, we will indeed bring joy and rejoicing to the heart of our God. He rejoices in the truth. So if we want to make him happy, decide to follow the truth. Live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, and you will make him happy. So that's characteristic number 5. If you look at quote number 3, characteristic number 6 is that the Lord God Michael is keeping mercy for thousands. The Hebrew word for keeping used in this text is netzer, N-A-T-S-A-R. And this word translates and means to guard, to protect, to maintain, to keep, to preserve. That's Strong's word number 5341. The Hebrew word for mercy used in this text is, again, chesed, C-H-E-C-E-D. And this word translates and means loving kindness, favor, mercy. That's Strong's word number 2617. Now this word chesed is derived from the word chasad, C-H-A-C-A-D. And this word translates and means to bow the neck only in courtesy to an equal. That's Strong's word number 2616. Quite amazing when you understand that. So the Lord God does not just pass out mercy on a whim. He does not just give out mercy on a spare of the moment decision to favor someone because he's kind. But his merciful kindnesses are preserved, they're maintained, and are kept ready to freely bestow upon any of his people who may need them. The mercies of God are, you know, as it brought out in the meaning of the word, guarded and protected so that any of his creation need never fear that his favors will somehow be lost or that his favors will be stolen away from coming to thousands of his people. They're guarded and protected from being lost. So this shows to each one of us that God's love never fails. That's 1 Corinthians 13:8. But it's not just because of his followers that Michael freely bestows his loving kindness. It's not just upon those who follow him. But Michael also showers his loving kindnesses upon those who do not follow him. He sends them upon the pagans and upon those who are living in sin and wickedness. And he does this so that they may awaken and realize that they have received these kindnesses out of mercy. Not because they deserve them, but because they didn't deserve them. The Lord God longs to have all of these wayward and rebellious people awakened to the fact that they have been deceived, that they've been misled by Lucifer and his agents into dark and discouraging pathways that will end in their destruction. So the Lord God mercifully sends his kindnesses upon these precious souls in the hope that they would soon choose to come to him and find true and lasting happiness. But why does the Lord God Michael send his favor and mercy upon his people, as well as upon those who are still rejecting him and keeping them out of their lives? What's the reason why? And it's all because of his great love. This mighty Lord God Michael doesn't see mankind, his creation, as playthings like the pagan gods do. Neither does the Lord God Michael see his creation as worthless and undeserving of his attention. He doesn't view them as their sole purpose in life to eke and scratch out a living while rendering blind obedience to their creator God, or suffering his wrathful punishments when they fail to give him obedience. But Michael sees his creation as truly being his creation. He sees them as being the offspring or the sons and daughters of God. And so this mighty Lord God Michael courteously tilts, or he nods his divine, majestic, fatherly head towards every human being in recognition of the fact that even though he's greater than them, yet they're his children, and thus equal with him in dignity, in worth, and in importance. Quite amazing, isn't it? So just like with Esau, who sold his birthright for a mess of pottage, so humanity have sold their birthright for a mass of sin. But Michael sees what all humanity have lost. He sees who they really are and also what they can become with his help. And so Michael wants to redeem them back from being slaves to Lucifer. The Lord wants to restore their God-given birthright as his children. He wants to reproduce the image of God in them once again so that they will not be the children of God just in name, but they will be the children of God in character. And all of this merciful and loving kindness is freely given to all of humanity by their mighty Lord God, if they will only choose of their own free will to allow him to accomplish such a divine change in their lives. If they will allow him to make them born again. Not physically, spiritually. But this will only take place if you choose to have it so. This will only occur if you will allow the Lord God to make you more precious than fine gold, even the golden wedge of Ophir. That's Isaiah 13:12. The most precious gold, the most pure gold found at that time. And if you will allow the Lord God Michael to make these divine changes in your life and character, then you will no longer be the child of the wicked one. You will no longer be the bastard offspring of rebellion. You will no longer be the sire of the bond woman to be disowned of any inheritance and then cast out. But you will instead become the children of promise. That's Galatians 4:28. The children of God. Romans 8:16. And you will be acknowledged as an heir of God. Galatians 4:7. And the rightful inheritors of a life measuring with the life of God, which is eternal life. That's Titus 3 verse 7. What a wonderful God we have, dear ones. Through him, you can become changed and granted eternal life. Now, the seventh characteristic, if you look at quote number 4, is that the Lord God Michael forgives iniquity and transgression and sin. Why 3 different terms? Don't they all just refer to breaking of God's law? The answer is yes. So then why is the breaking of God's law referred to by 3 different names? Iniquity, transgression, and sin. Why doesn't it just say the Lord God Michael forgives sin? The Hebrew word for iniquity used in this text is avon, A-V-O-W-N. And this word translates and means perversity, moral evil, fault, iniquity, mischief. That's Strong's word number 5771. So iniquity in this case refers to God's law being broken by some fault in your character, whether this fault is inherited or whether it's formed by choice, and this fault would include those sins dealing with moral evil, such as sexual perversity, immorality, illicit relations, sensual mischief, and other uncontrolled passions. So that's what the word iniquity entails or involves. The Hebrew word for transgression used in this text is pesha, P-E-S-H-A, and this word translates and means rebellion, transgression, trespass. That's Strong's word number 6588. So then transgression in this case would refer to God's law not being kept because of rebellion. And this would include trespassing beyond the limits or the confines of God's commandments. The Hebrew word for sin used in this text is chatta, C-H-A-T-T-A-A-H. And this word translates and means an offense, a sin. So sin in this case would refer to any other offense that happens to break God's law. And that was Strong's word number 2402. So even though sin can be divided into these 3 divisions, it's still sin. It's still the breaking of God's divine law. but they're not all the same types of sin. So these three different types of sin could be committed in a careless way, in a thoughtless manner. It could be done intentionally. It could be done knowingly. These sins could be committed in times when emotions and passions gain control over reason. Or these could be committed through ignorance, a lack of understanding, or unintentionally done. But even though these sins might be unintentionally committed, God's law has still been broken and sin has still been committed. And if you've realized that you've broken one or more of God's commandments, then remember what God promises in Proverbs 28:13. Those who confess and forsake their sins shall have mercy of the Lord. So if you realize this, then I also hope that you would recognize that God will forgive you any of these three different types of sins. And the mighty Lord God Michael will indeed mercifully forgive all of your sins, because he understands that you and all the rest of humanity would be doomed without his divine help. And because he greatly loves you. So as the mighty Lord God Michael loves you, then he rejoices not in iniquity. That's 1 Corinthians 13:6. He's saddened every time you or me sins. And he longs to free us from being in bondage and captivity to sin and its author, the devil, if we would just come to him for help. Indeed, love suffereth long. Now, if you look at quote number 5, for any who may be tempted to believe that they've gone so far into sin that it's impossible for God to forgive them. Perhaps you may have been a sinner all of your life, and now you're in the last time of your life. And you believe that a life of sin can never be forgiven. The Lord God Michael tenderly invites you to come to him. He tells us in Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. That's a promise. So the Lord God is extending a personal invitation to you, even though you're struggling against the weight of the burden of your sins throughout your life. He's inviting you to come and meet with him in a private one-on-one session. And if you agree to meet with him, then the mighty Lord God Michael promises that his whole attention and his whole focus will be centered upon you until you come to understand that no matter how many sins you may be guilty of committing, and no matter how dark your past history may be, he is willing to freely forgive you of all those sins if you will come to him and ask him to. But dear ones, what is the point of asking God to forgive you of all your sins without there also being a change in your heart and a change in the outlook on life? Without a change of heart, then the sins that you're now cleansed from will continue to hold a power and attraction over you, and you'll continue breaking God's law. But with a change in heart, then sin will no longer have the same power over you. And it will not be as attractive or as pleasurable as it was before you found Christ and forgiveness. And so then with this change of heart, it will be easier for you to keep God's law instead of breaking God's law. So not only does Christ promise to forgive you all your sins, but he also promises to change your heart. You look at quote number 6. You can't change your heart. We're told in Proverbs 20 verse 9, who can say I have made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin. And of course the answer is no one. We're told in Job 4:14, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. So just as the Ethiopian cannot change his skin color, and just as the leopard cannot get rid of his spots, we who are accustomed to doing evil cannot begin doing good. That's Jeremiah 3:23. So if we want to become good and no longer sinful, we can't look within for this change. We can't look to someone around us for this change. We can't look to the church for this change. We have to look to God above for this change. The same God who forgives us and cleanses us from our sins will also have the divine power to miraculously change our heart and our outlook on life. And he promises to do that very thing if we ask him. In Psalms 51 verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That was David asking for a change, and God gave it. The Lord God Michael promises us, if we ask, in Ezekiel 36, verses 25 to 28, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. So there's the forgiveness of sins. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. So the Lord God Michael will not only freely forgive us and cleanse us from all our past sins, he will not only wipe our sinful state completely clean and give us a second chance, but he also promises to give us a new and a changed heart, as well as a new spirit or outlook on life, so that sin will not be as attractive as it once was, or as powerful over us as it once was, but we will have difference within us, no longer loving sin, but instead hating it. So what is this new heart? What is this new spirit that God will give us and put within us? We're told in Jeremiah 31, verse 33, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. In Hebrews chapter 8, verses 10 to 12, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God, and they shall be to me a people. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. So with God's law, with his commandments being written in our mind and our heart, and with a new spirit or a new outlook on life being given us, then sin will lose its hold upon us. We will indeed be set free from bondage and be able to live a new life, a life of faith. So then old things will be passed away and all things will become new. That's 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. But the Lord God Michael goes even further than this. He will also put the Holy Spirit within each fully forgiven and cleansed and new-hearted individual. And so with the help of the Holy Spirit, then sin will not be as attractive, because the Spirit will reprove us of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. John 16, verse 8. The Spirit will also teach us all things. John 14, 26. He will guide us into all truth. John 16, 13. So then with the Spirit reproving you of sin, showing you the way to righteousness, teaching you all things, guiding you into all truth, then you'll be able to recognize the sin that you once gave into and be able to better overcome it by looking to God for grace and strength to live a new life, a life that keeps all of God's commandments. So all of these great and merciful blessings will be given to you for free by the Lord God, if you'll ask him to. And then you'll have the precious privilege of escaping from the evil grasp of sin, of its author, the devil, and be able to find salvation. If you're faithful to the end, you have that crown of life. But you have to be faithful. We look at quote number 7. The Lord God states to each and every one of his creation. He states to you. That we may have forgotten him days without number. Jeremiah 2:32. We may have sold ourselves for nothing. Isaiah 52:3. We may have followed all kinds of wickedness and sin. Yet we may be redeemed without money. Isaiah 52:3. We may be cleansed from all our iniquity whereby we have sinned against God. And he will pardon all of our iniquities that we've sinned and transgressed against him. Jeremiah 33, verse 8. And after being willing to do all this, the Lord God declares to each of us. I will save them, so they shall be my people, and I will be their God. That's Ezekiel 37:23. All this is promised if you will just ask for it and believe that God will do it for you. If you will, then the mighty Lord God has already cleansed you from all your iniquities. That's Ezekiel 36:33. Do you feel any different? No. But you've been cleansed because God doesn't lie. If you ask, he's already done it for you. He promises to blot out as a thick cloud all thy transgressions, and as a cloud all thy sins. Isaiah 44:22. God has also already created in you a new heart. He's given you a new outlook. He's given you the Holy Spirit. You are now his child, and he is your God. All because you've asked for it and believed that he's done it. Quite amazing, isn't it? What a God we have. And this wonderful opportunity is freely offered to every individual, regardless of their spiritual condition. So, no matter if you've given free rein to sexual passion, no matter if you've indulged in all kinds of immorality, no matter if you're a harlot, been involved in whoredom, in prostitution, or even in the unnatural affection for the same sex. If you've given free rein to any other kind of sexual or moral evil, the Lord God Michael mercifully states to you that even though you've played the harlot with many lovers, yet return again to me, saith the Lord, and all your wickedness will be forgiven. That's Jeremiah 3:1. And this wonderful and blessed opportunity is also freely offered to those who may have once accepted the Lord God as their God, but may have slid back into their sins that they were cleansed from. Or for those who may have tried many times to overcome and yet failed and then gone back to sin. To you, the Lord God Michael longingly declares, return ye backsliding children, and I will heal your backslidings. That's Jeremiah 3:22. And this wonderful and blessed opportunity is freely offered to all those who are involved in any idolatrous practices, including any who are involved in the dark occultic and Luciferic teachings of paganism or spiritualism. The Lord God Michael lovingly offers full forgiveness and complete healing if you will only come to him and ask him for it, and then believe that he's done it for you. We're told in Isaiah 19:21-22 and verse 25. And the Lord God shall be known to Egypt, and the Egyptians, that's idolatrous pagan followers, shall know the Lord God in that day. And they shall return even to the Lord, and he shall be entreated of them and shall heal them. The Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, which was Babylon, the work of my hands. So no matter who you are, and no matter how great your sins may be, or how deep into iniquity, transgression, and sin you may have gone, the Lord God Michael states to you, return ye now everyone from his evil way. Jeremiah 18:11. The Lord God Michael freely promises that he will forgive their iniquity and their sin. Jeremiah 36:3. And Michael further promises that if you return to him, then he will give you a heart to know me, that I am the Lord, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Jeremiah 24:7. But there's something else that we need to realize. As you're returning to the loving and merciful Lord God Michael, we need to understand that he's not just sitting down and patiently waiting for you to stumble along until you finally find your way back to him. But at the very same time you're coming to him, he's actively searching and looking for you. And this is so that you can find each other quickly and thus become completely healed much faster. So he doesn't wait for you to come to him. He's actively coming to you so that you both can meet each other that much sooner. We're told in Ezekiel 34:11-12 and verse 16. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I, even I, will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered into. Obviously, into sin. Because I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. So here we see that the mighty Lord God is like a great shepherd of the sheep, and he's seeking you out, so that he can shower upon you all these blessings if you will only accept his invitation to personally meet with him and ask him for help. If you do, then the mighty Lord will fulfill all these promises. He will forgive you. He will cleanse you. He will change you. He will give you his spirit. And finally, he will lovingly and tenderly embrace you in his strong and protecting arms, because you have indeed become his beloved and prized possession, and he has become your beloved and prized possession. You found that pearl of great price, and it's yours forevermore. What a loving, kind, gracious, merciful, abundant in goodness and truth is our Lord God. So we've seen seven of the characteristics of our Lord God. And next time we'll be investigating into the last two characteristics of this amazing way and glory of the Lord's character, his name. So we hope to see you next time, dear ones. What a glorious God we have the privilege of coming to, connecting ourselves with, and lovingly follow for the rest of our lives. So we'll find out more next time. May you indeed find him, because he's searching for you. Our closing song is I Found a Friend. I've found a friend, oh such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. And round my heart, still closely twined, those ties which naught can sever. For I am his and he is mine, forever and forever.
I've found a friend, oh such a friend. He bled, he died to save me, and not alone. The gift of life, but his own self he gave me. Not that I have my own, I call. I hold it for the giver. My heart, my strength, my life, my all. Are his and his forever.
I found a friend, oh such a friend, so kind and true and tender, so wise a counselor and guide, so mighty a defender. From him who loves me now so well, what power my soul can sell? Shall I forget or earth or hell? No, I am his forever.
Amen. He's your best friend. Pray that you can find him and that he can find you because he's searching for you. May you open your heart's door and let him in. You will be his forevermore and he will be yours forevermore. That's life eternal, dear ones. Please join with me in closing prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for developing this plan of salvation. Thank you, dear Savior, for carrying out your part in this great plan, for ratifying it, making it possible, accessible for every fallen human being. And thank you, dear Spirit, for working upon our hearts, for convicting us of sin, for pointing us to the law of God that points out our sin but can't cleanse us, and then pointing us to the Savior who not only will forgive us our sins but will cleanse us and then give us divine grace and power to live a new life, a life that is so much better than the old. And thank you, dear Spirit, for convicting us of our sins before we commit them and showing us the way to righteousness so that we may choose to follow or choose not to follow. Thank you for pricking our consciences. And if we've stumbled and fallen into sin, for pointing us to the Savior, that we might find forgiveness and cleansing and grace and strength to stand up from our fallen state and then go forward anew, wiser than we were before we fell. Thank you, dear Godhead, for unitedly working together for our salvation. Help us to work in harmony with your efforts that we might indeed be saved. Not in the church, not in ourselves, but only in Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Praise God indeed, dear ones. Are there any thoughts, comments, questions? Please feel free.
It is truly too overwhelming, the magnitude of God's mercy and grace and love. Just in going through the study, the lesson, the sermon, things were coming to my mind, concerning God's searching me out and watching over me and caring for me and sparing my life even to the moment. He is such a great God. And he is such a loving God, and who would not want to serve him and to love him and to live with him? It is mind-blowing that there are actually people that don't want anything to do with him and don't want his love and his mercy and his grace. I'm thankful and very much humbled again and again through hearing the length and depth and breadth and height of his amazing love. It's just overwhelming.
Amen, dear brother. Each and every one of us has that testimony. Amen. A comment room says, not only that, but God has given us a new outlook and also a new outfit, the robe of Christ's righteousness. Amen. Merciful God, we don't deserve any of this, but he still gives it to us anyways because he loves us. Are there any other comments or thoughts, testimonies, songs, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free.
When you know God, you have all the questions answered. What a way to live. You have a question, God answers it. Amen.
Amen. And even questions that weren't answered in our lifetime, he will answer as we're walking with him on the river of life, the banks of the river of life. He will answer all of the questions that may not have been answered in our lifetime. And the answers will reveal even more of God's great love for us.
A song came to mind, "Shall We Gather at the River?" It's an old, old song, but it's true today as it was when it was written.
Shall we gather at the river, where bright angel feet have trod? With its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
The question is, will you gather at the river with me?
Amen.
I guess I have to turn my mic on. On the margin of the river, washing up its silver spray, we will walk and worship ever all the happy golden day. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Early beats the shining river, lay we every burden down. Grace our spirits will deliver and provide a robe and crown. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints of the river that flows by the throne of God.
Soon we'll reach the shining river. Soon our pilgrimage will cease. Soon our happy hearts will quiver with a melody of peace. Yes, we'll gather at the river, the beautiful river. Gather with the saints at the river that flows by the throne of God.
Won't that be a wonderful time, walking with Christ on the banks of the river, partaking of the river of life together? And then those questions that you just couldn't find an answer for, be able to ask him and you'll be able to see clearly what the answer was. It will be a wonderful time. And if you have 1,000 different questions, then there'll be 1,000 different answers for those questions. So you don't have to worry about anything you don't understand here, because everything will be understood there. Just patiently wait, and everything will be understood. Any other thoughts, comments, questions, songs, testimonies? Please go right ahead.
One of the best things is we'll never have to say goodbye. We will always be surrounded by love. What a wonderful place.
Amen. Eye hath not seen, nor heart has imagined, the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. It's going to be wonderful. You also, dear brother, and have a wonderful new week soon to be here. Looking forward to having you back in fellowship with us. You're in our prayers, and thank you for your prayers for us as well.
The quantity is as abundant as the size of the universe.
Amen. I mean, is there any measurement to infinity, to all powerful? There's no measurement. It's beyond the highest measurement you can think of. So God's love for you is without measure. That is quite a thought.
Who can understand infinity? Because everything we know has a beginning and an end. Can your mind grasp forever? Or the love of God? That's something to think about.
Amen. We can only accept what's been revealed. And the rest of it, we have to wait to learn more. And the theme of God's love will be the theme for eternity. And can you imagine going to other worlds that were able to see what was taking place and see the behind manifestations of God's love for you? And to recognize that God's love for you was greater than you had ever thought. And that's just with talking to one person on another world. How many other living individuals are there who may have seen a different aspect or seen a different event in your life that others may have missed? So exploring into other worlds and asking them for personal knowledge or what they witnessed or, you know, the things that they saw and they noticed, dealing with you or with other individuals you may have known or perhaps perfect strangers, getting that different aspect is going to be wonderful, dear ones. And so your love and appreciation for God is never going to stop. It's never going to find an end to. It's always going to be increasing as you learn more. And of course, they're going to have questions for you, you know, and we'll be able to answer them and give them other aspects or insights, because they've never experienced grace working on the heart. They've never experienced the Spirit leading and guiding them away from error into truth. So our testimony to them of how God worked within us to bring us from death to life is going to give them greater insights into the understanding of God's love. And so their love and appreciation from God is also going to increase. So we're going to be edified, and they're going to be edified in turn, and all of us together are going to lift our voices in praising God for his great love and merciful kindness. So it's going to be a wonderful experience, and this is going to go on for eternity. There won't be an end. So there's not just one world out there that God has created intelligent beings on. There may be hundreds of thousands of other worlds. Now, I personally believe that in this Milky Way galaxy, we're the only planet that God created intelligent life on in this whole galaxy. So if that is true, then it's possible that in every other galaxy, there's one intelligent people on a planet that God has created. So then how many different galaxies are there in the known universe? It's estimated that there's 200 billion galaxies in the known universe. That's just the universe that can be seen with our telescopes. How many other universes or galaxies are there out there that can't be seen by our telescopes? So, it boggles my mind, dear ones, of the possibilities out there. But without Jesus, none of it is possible.
Can you count the grain of sand on the seashore?
Can you imagine talking to the last sinner that was saved and won't you be happy that God waited for that one sinner? What an amazing love that God has, and I don't mind waiting.
Neither do I, my twin.
Can I share the scripture, two scripture songs for the theme of our sermon? Hosea 14:4 is in the section of God's love. I will heal the path, Zion, I will love you freely. All my anger is turned away from him. I will heal the path, Zion, I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. Hosea 14:4. I will heal their paths, lighting, I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. I will heal their paths, lighting, I will love them freely. For my anger is turned away from him. And the other one is Ezekiel 36:26, 27, and 28. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them. Margin. And ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. And they shall know that I am the Lord.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Dear ones, are there any last thoughts? Any last testimonies or songs, comments that you'd like to make before we close today's service? Please go right ahead.
Mine is a praise and an update of my testimony that I had concerning the abscess. I want to give God the glory for all that he has done. I didn't have to puncture anything. Praise God. I didn't have to do anything but continue the protocol. I didn't get to do the potato because as soon as when we finished Sabbath and I continued doing the protocol that I had, the next day, I got up, and I didn't have it at all. So I thank God for that, and I give praises to him. But during the night on Friday, when I started to have, like, the reaction to the split that it did with the plastic on my mouth, I listened to the hymns during my Friday worship, and I turned off everything of the hymn because I like to go to sleep as the spirit of prophecy is reading to me just to keep my mind stayed on him. And I was really worried about, oh Lord, if I have to punch to this, I just hope that the needle and the place where the hymn was actually playing, it turns on. And you know what it actually turned on to? Under his wings, I am safely abiding. And I said, thank you, Lord, for being here. Tomorrow, please make sure that I don't have to do nothing like that. And I got up, and I didn't have it. So I just want to praise God for that. I'm becoming a patient, even in the protocol. Thank you. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. What a merciful God to allow that very song to be played as he's healing you. That's wonderful.
I'm sorry. I have to give praises to God for so many different things, but I'm just going to keep it short. Okay. Okay. Can I? Okay. The reason why I wanted to show the book, this was my course that I had to be able to pass. I always had asked the Lord, because I know that we accepted a lot of the information that was given to the help before concerning like drinking and smoking. But to relate it to individuals that may have the struggle, and I gave them like biblical references. But it was amazing to see that what our dear Sister White had written in different places that selected messages, and you know, different books where he talks about the dire danger of these substances. Now with this information, it went into so much detail. People may just say that it's not really that bad, but with the information that I have just learned, it is responsible for a lot of the, not only diseases, but also children when they, born with different, challenges. We didn't even know that when they are actually taking these things, it doesn't only affect them, but it affects the generation that is coming after through whatever substances they was abusing. Their children get affected by it. And, society gets, it's so much information, but I just want to thank God that now I'm not only able to share with them through the health reform, but giving them actual facts that is happening today and why the world is in the way they is, they are. And, I just wanted to thank God, but now I can at least take some of the information besides what it is that is given to them so they can research it themselves and realize that it was given to us so long ago, but we are actually living the evil of the cause when it was lighted. I just wanted to share that and to thank God that that 120 question that I had that I was like, I don't know how I was going to do it. I was able to pass it with a 99.70. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. That is fantastic, dear sister. And praise God that you have material that you can encourage those who may be caught up in that habit to be able to find a way to become freed from it by their choice to no longer endanger their health, but to look to Jesus to find deliverance from it and healing. Amen. We'll be keeping everyone in prayer that the Lord has allowed you to share the information with. It's been a wonderful Sabbath gathering, dear ones. Thank you for your fellowship, for your participation and comments and singing. And praise God for this time to spend together as one in worshiping our Godhead from whom all blessings flow. Go with God. Have a wonderful remaining Sabbath and a new week soon to be here until we meet again, dear ones. And may you always look up. It looks like we lost our dear brother, Dick. Who would like to sing Keep Looking Up for us?
I could try it for the other. Keep looking up, that God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee come what may. Keep looking up, the darkest clouds will roll away. So do not doubt, but keep on looking.